Welcome to Awaken Life Radio, a podcast about being a spiritual being, having a human experience in a world gone mad. Each week, we will discuss how you can heal yourself, cultivate your intuitive superpowers, and be a sacred vessel for planetary healing. I am your host, Narayani Gaya.
I am so excited to talk with you today on this episode of Awaken Life Radio with one of my spiritual teachers who I literally spent like two different weekends with ever or something, or 2 weeks in my life, but really have touched my life. And his name is Dirk Uylenbrandt. Did I say your last name correctly?
Uylenbrandt, yes. Uylenbrandt.
For an English-speaking American, good enough. Okay. And the reason that I wanted to bring you on to interview you and talk with you, honestly, it's the way that I want to interview most people is I get an impulse and I just message you right away. So it wasn't a big heady thing. It was literally a feeling like, oh man, I want to do more podcasts this year and start getting out teachers, and I'd love to share the superpowers that have helped shape my life and my path. So thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. Last time I saw you was about 2000 in person was about 2005 or six here in Asheville. Mm-hmm. I was going through a lot of big awakening and you taught us some very precious things. I experienced some profound things, four things. One, you were doing fourth dimensional body work. And so that was a beautiful initiation that I got to learn with you, which taught me to drop into my hara and the emptiness of the hara and just show up in consciousness and see what happens. So that gave me permission to work in a very free form. And the second one was the dark room that we did in Namaste Yoga Studio in the basement, which gifted, I felt a whole layer, just like a whole thing I had been practicing holding my space around people, and then all of a sudden I felt open and like I could just, it was safe to merge with people again. It was
I remember that one.
Uh-huh. Very big, very, very cool. And I talk about that often. And the other was the masculine and feminine at that beautiful yurt with the deck over at Teresa's house. And we did this balancing of energies of working with the vertical and the horizontal axis in eye gazing and communicating. And that was a really sweet initiation. And then the other one was the five element Qigong, which is such a timeless and priceless initiation and valuable practice. And they very much.
You remember a lot.
Right. Yeah.
I do remember this moment. When the teaching, and that was quite intuitive, that we were with 40, 50 people in a room. And then I just suggested that we put all the light out and blind the light and so on. And there's 50 strangers there together, I think for half an hour. At first I was quite a panic coming up. And after half an hour and with some guidance, people said, they didn't want to come out.
Yeah.
I think that immediately we are at, I think, the root of my teachings, which is to integrate the dark and the light path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was one of the things in my life, in addition to the women's work and the moon work, which really helped me to embrace the dark and really just connect with that. I learned it in shiatsu training in the 90s, the kidney and the dark energy. And those of you who are listening, you know, anyone listening to this is either a student of Dirk or a future student of Dirk. You're on the spiritual path. Awaken Life Radio is for people who are on the spiritual path. I want to integrate and ground wisdom into experience. And we did this thing this year. This is just a beautiful reminder. Last year, actually, I held space for a year of New Moon with some women in my community, co-created it. And we would do this thing where we would rest in the dark. Like we would turn out the lights and it was the new moon and just rest as a group. And it was the sweetest silence and peace. And now I can feel we're not doing those particular gatherings this year, but I could feel it. I felt it on that last new moon, last new moon, the same energy. The template was created. And I wish people can know this, you know, and not be afraid of the dark. We talk about how that darkness relates to our healing and why it's necessary.
Well, in the medical world, we know that if people cannot really take life any longer, they just put them asleep. And that is literally to put them in the dark. And then even a little bit further, when people die, they have to move through the dark. We can be afraid of that, or we can realize that this is where all the light comes from. I often say to people, I don't think in the uterus of your mom there was like a nightlight or something. It was very, very dark. But for you it was light, because it's the internal light. Where that cannot be seen. And if you study, like I did, if you study the alchemical path of the East and the West, there's in both directions, you will find a small section that have stayed loyal to that dark path as the origin of the light, and look for a harmony between the two. What we see in the West is mainly the experience of dark, which is like seeing a color or the absence of light. But it has nothing to do with the full experience of it. Because for this, the closest that people get to that is when they are deeply asleep. So, and they cannot really go to that. But what they can learn is to keep their consciousness longer while they are asleep. So that means that they are awake when they are asleep.
Right.
When they start to remember, no dreams, but the sensation of your body and mind when you were asleep. And then this gate starts to open.
This is also a teaching from the Vedic lineages and Vedic scriptures that speak of enlightenment as the same as sleep. That there's some like sutras in the Guru, I don't know if it's the Guru Gita, but it's from my lineage, my Swami Satchidananda lineage, from our prayers. And then when you start to learn the chants and the translations of the chants, you learn the scriptures, and then they have these little sprinkles that go, oh, how does that work? And
often endarkment.
Endarkment. Right. Yeah.
Because that's one of the basic lines in the teachings that I also pass on to the teachers in our organization. Is this whole, in my opinion and experience, this whole movement and the focus on enlightenment, which is a creation of the mind. As like an ultimate escape from the world and society. And it, for me, it doesn't lead anywhere. It has nothing to do with what spirituality really is. So if there is no balance between the lower and higher dimensions, then I put spirituality in the category of entertainment or a hobby or something.
Entertainment. Yeah, it's a circus. What I found since I've seen you in person, since we practiced together 10, 15 years, after 2012, I started teaching, and I'm working on a book about how to work with your energy field from the inside out. I'd love to share it with you actually at some point. Mm-hmm. We take people through working, not chakras, but through kind of through the energy body and just play with practice and, you know, mm-hmm. grounding and what comes up and support and then like the heart field mm-hmm. and the feeling body. And mm-hmm. most of the people I work with, it takes them many, many years and I'm wondering in your experience if you see this. A lot of people, it takes them a very long time to move through those lower chakra energies in their mm-hmm. own healing to be able to freely mm-hmm. feel they can really integrate those changes mm-hmm. into manifesting new things in their outer life. That makes sense.
Well, that's because they mm-hmm. choose, if you choose the chakra system in the first place, you choose for a light system.
No, I don't mean, and I say, okay, we don't work chakras, colors, mantras, yantras. We don't mm-hmm. do any of that. No, uh-huh. but more like mm-hmm. just working with grounding the feeling body and the heart chakra. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So still, it's still a light system because it's a system.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Somehow. Okay. Yes. Well, if we go to even the hara and the first chakra and so on, mm-hmm. people approach it from the light and from the mind and from their feelings and so on, but not directly. And everything from the navel and down, a few masters I met in the East on the level of the lower centers, mm-hmm. they don't teach you anything. It's purely magnetic. It's purely direct experience. They look, the biggest movement you see from their eyebrows is like if they watch people mm-hmm. from the West and how they want to approach this. It's like you jump in the swimming pool with all your clothes on. They look like, what are you trying to do? This is totally useless.
Yeah, I'll be curious to mm-hmm. see how you feel about this work because it's pretty open. It's, mm-hmm. you know, like ground and see what's there. It's like feel and see what's there. And there's actually so much beautiful things that happen mm-hmm. in dropping mm-hmm. into your lower body mm-hmm. and like the heart mm-hmm. and the they want to stay there. They just want to stay finally mm-hmm. being present with what's authentically arising.
Right.
That's another way to put it. Like, and then mm-hmm. like, okay, well, what are you creating? Where are you going? They're just like, but just mm-hmm. want to stay like mm-hmm. in this, you know? And I think when I look at that of all of the thousands of years of where that hasn't happened or mm-hmm. been acknowledged or been mm-hmm. cultivated. And so there's so much to catch up on, but perhaps I'm going the wrong way because mm-hmm. what I hear you saying is, you're still working in the light and not allowing.
No, if the intention is to go into the dark and we do that through the mind, that's useless. That's what I mean.
Through the mind.
Mm-hmm. If the intention is to explore the soul and the mind, then it's not useless. You see, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's why I use the example of going in the swimming pool with your clothes on. The clothes are very useful, but not in the swimming pool.
Right.
And the lineage that I teach from is, which doesn't have a place in existence, but it's more like a spiritual lineage. The focus is on bringing together the physical, the soul level, and the mind to right. unify them in one state.
Right.
And to focus which one is not really open or developed.
Right, right.
And that is right. a trigger for many people.
That's what I do as well. But not like you, because you're way more of my teacher than whatever. But it was interesting. Since we spoke last, I fell in love with a twin flame who then passed away. And he was a very beautiful Lakota native chief and teacher. And we started teaching together before he transitioned. And one of the ways that he used to teach, Chief Elkman, is mm-hmm. he would say, like, look at your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Mm-hmm. And just see which is higher, which you need to develop. And he would talk mm-hmm. about that same thing a lot. and be aware of which one you need to develop.
I think I have a reputation in with a lot of people of the guy of the body and the core and the dark and so on. I often tell them the only reason, because I'm not a dark guy, not at all, but the reason why I talk about it is nobody talks about it. And I can show it, I can demonstrate it, so it's, I have to do it. But it's just an aspect of the teachings. It's like, why talking about the fruits of the tree if there is no root? I mean, that's quite useless. I mean, it's not going to come. The fruit is not going to come if there's no root.
Right.
That's the only reason why I focus on it so much.
Right.
I think dark and light is just as valuable. But we are missing the dark the most. That's why I keep talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say, like, in the West, they're treating people who are depressed by having them sleep in the dark, but they're not experiencing the dark, what does that mean? No. What is then? No.
Well, they are unconscious in the dark, and the art is to, it helps them, it heals them, but it, because at least they don't have this diarrhea of thoughts anymore that makes them crazy. So they start healing, the vital darkness starts to arise in their bodies because they can't think anymore. But after a while, if they have not learned, they will tend to go back there. And what we need to do is to stay conscious in the unconscious, which cannot be done psychologically by thought, but only with pure consciousness, without any thought.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Now I remember when I met you, and there was all that no thinking. Mm. It's all come. Well, there was a teacher we met before you who came here, and then I met one of my another teacher. That was a very beautiful ripe time, 2002 to 2005, six. Very ripe time. Yeah, that space in between the thoughts. And
important.
And how do you, if we're going to be advising people who haven't yet practiced with you and are starting to, like, because people say to me, I can't meditate because I think too much. And I usually say, well, you haven't received instructions, an initiation, because the mind is ever there. So I'm curious how you could advise our audience. How would, how do you answer that question? Like, I can't stop thinking. Is it as simple, or
that's
is
a
it?
Fact.
Yeah, it's a fact.
That's a fact. That's so don't focus on it. It's not going to stop anyway. But the meditation, what we do, I teach a lot of different groups. I teach leadership programs and couples and inner alchemy and so on and so on. But almost in all of the groups, we do a ritual, which is based on, we call it cleaning the temple, where you just touch your surface, your skin, and let your body react spontaneously by yawning, like I'm doing now, with yawning with passion, and letting all the separation between your outside and inside world disappear. I'm starting to get back to the pure sensation in your body and balancing in and outside. That's in itself a meditation. And if people get, most of the time they start feeling how tired they are. So of course they cannot meditate. And then if they go through that, and sometimes you get teary eyes and shiverings and cold hands, and it's all this non-effective energy goes out of their system, and sometimes they fall asleep, and that's fine. But then afterwards, they are meditating. They don't they don't need to meditate. They are already in a meditation, starting from their body, because the soul and the mind fall into the body then. So there's no effort from here to there. There's just allowance of the space in the body that contains the soul and the mind. That's the foundation for us.
When you say the soul, are you referring to the infinite soul, the personal soul? the personal light body or the collective astral, or not astral, the like in yoga, the Atman is the universal identity. So
for me, it's the soul is the human spirit.
The human spirit, okay.
Right. It's God in human form. And this is an individual version. But in reality, of course, there's just one soul, which is humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But we are experiencing it individual. Certainly, if we are embodied, we get this pure experience of the soul and that it bounces back as the personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we allow that to be, which is predestined, which is already there, we cannot develop the soul. That's the greatest nonsense ever.
Wow.
I wonder who would do that.
So the soul does not evolve?
Of course not. No. Oh. The only thing that evolves is our awareness of the soul and the present as the soul.
Okay.
But who on earth could develop the soul? I mean, I don't have anything that could improve this perfect being. I don't have anything.
So I've been gifted a few glimpses of my soul that have brought me to tears. Who is it that glimpsed it? Is that what you're asking?
That's the question. About what often happens if we are in the direct experience of the soul. It's very touching.
It's the experience. Yeah, it's the experience.
It opens you and there's emotion.
Emotion.
You don't know if you should laugh or cry. But there's no observer. There might be an observer, but it doesn't have any function.
So the teaching of the observer is that just a tool to start to detach the ego from the personal ego from the mind, like to shift, because there's a value to being a witness, right?
Sure.
As a practice. Yeah, the question is, you know, if there's no observer, but observing is a valuable practice.
Right.
But it doesn't mean there's an observer because it's consciousness that's observing.
There is an observer because that's the part of the nature of self-consciousness, that we can be aware of our state. But that doesn't add anything to the soul.
Evolve the soul. No. It just will see itself. And then
just like the whole thing of people often come to me and they say, I'm working on my spiritual development. And then I tell them that's the only thing you shouldn't develop. I mean, that was the only perfect thing. Don't do anything. Get your life right.
Right. Well, I love the teaching of Anahata, the heart chakra, which means unstruck, because it's that there's nothing, there's never been anything wrong, or it's always, the love is always there. That's such a powerful healing.
Just a bunch of illusions and wrong interpretations that we keep repeating. So that we should correct.
Okay. Another one, huh? Another one that's just a romantic concept that somebody said once.
We are doing a training, because me together with the teachers in our organization, a training for a very long time. We call it Alchemy of Life. And one of the first questions we ask people and we send them at home after the day is like, we ask people, why are you here? And they say, to work on myself. And then in the end, we send them home with that. So what the hell is, who is working on who? Because we have to clear that out. Before we can help you, you have to reflect and meditate, like who is working on who? Me, my, and self are working on each other. So who are they? People very, very often go through quite some frustrations. and then they find out most of the time it's just a spiritual ego thing. The ego behaving spiritual.
Right.
Never intending whatsoever to arrive somewhere, but it's a spiritual activity. And then the willingness not to start working on something, but just to be there, increases a lot, and then we can start. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, the personal will to show up without the concept of that you are all of who you've probably always been told that you are. And that really, like Teresa, our friend Teresa used to always say, there's only one of us here. And in that, in the consciousness field, then we can, then you start working with people. Then they're open. Then they've got that layer of misperception of me, you, them, us, which keeps them in separation.
Like going to a therapist or a training and you know what you want to work on. Well, I would say if you would know that, you didn't need to go. You don't need to go to the training.
Because the awareness and the thought at the same time. Yes. Right.
You just moved to go there and that's enough.
It's interesting because as me have gotten older and I reflect, it's cool to sit with you because I haven't been in teachings with you directly in, 15 years, and I'm right now back exactly where I was, but there's been a lot in between as well. So I'm holding that awareness of both. Remembering that time when I was really strong seeker. Some days I'm like, even though I know I'm, a healer, blah, 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 like, I'm like, who cares about any of it? Like, really, what is this even? I find joy in my cup of tea and, simple things and important. simple life, and experience of, being in the body and healthy. It's interesting now when people come to me and they don't even know what they want. And I feel like they're just looking for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like we just want to know who we are. And we don't even know how to name that until maybe we glimpse some experience of who we are.
I often call that the shift from unconsciously suffering to consciously suffering. Which is not a very interesting, it doesn't sound very sexy, but you have to go through that because you were suffering for such a long time and now you realize you're suffering. You admit it, like you were an alcoholic, but now you admit that you are. Now something can change. But it's less nice than before, it feels like. But at least that's
because at least you're aware of it and there's space there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the space is opening and then the suffering can start to move, which is necessary because you have bounding it towards you as a being. So it needs to go.
Yeah, it needs to go. Yeah.
The value of conscious suffering is highly underestimated.
Tell me more about that.
Well, there's in a individual and collectively also to refer to part of my training, but also what I teach is if you are allowed to go through your whole body, then you have full access. It's all light, it's all consciousness. Then you can say you have cleaned up your mess. Let's say for most people that is 5%. They live in their form. And they don't have any access to their body. Now I don't mean any you have access to your liver and to, no, I just mean the empty space of your body that you go in fully into the third dimension first, which is the most difficult of all for people. The third dimension is the most difficult one. Because we made that a form. From our mind, we made the third dimension, which is all this biological, perfect, organized ecosystem. We put that all in packages, liver, DNA, bones, and we can't get in anymore. So that's why the pressure is so high. People want to get out. We want to go to the 12th dimension. High as possible, because there's so much pressure inside. But this pressure is purely psychic. It is all what we and many generations have put inside. It's all past. So most people live in a past body. It's accumulated past into their biological system. And the escape gives you a feeling of liberation But the problem is, it's not here. And God has decided that you live here and now you're free there. You understand? I'm free in the fifth dimension or in whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe I understand. I don't know. I understood 90% of it, but then you were saying, you know, when you said it's not here, are you saying that it's impossible to be, oh, that their mind is thinking that freedom is elsewhere? Right. Separate from the body. Last year, I got bit by a tick, and it was brought up all this suffering because I thought I was exposed to Lyme disease, and plus I was in a relationship that was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And it was good medicine, good karma burning, but it inspired me to want to go through a very deep detox, and plus in those menopause age. So I did a very deep cellular rejuvenation with my naturopath and mold, parasites, all those things. And I've done cleansing. I think even when I met you, I'd done a lot of cleansing. I was doing a lot of cleansing then. But this was the biggest one. And I lost 20 pounds, which people say, like, and I wasn't trying to. I didn't even know that I needed to, but anyway. And at the end of the year, I went to a sweet yoga class, and I go to Pilates. I think it was at the Pilates class. And we do a lot of breath work in the class. And at the end of class, I had this awareness that there was all this stuff that left my field, that was leaving my field that I didn't even track during the year. Mm-hmm. And that it was my body had changed in ways I didn't realize. That it was this feeling of gratitude and joy, and I cried and I didn't understand it, but anyway, it felt like a healing. And honestly, Dirk, it was just yesterday where I started to glimpse that my inner body and my energy is different. Like, my mind didn't catch up with perceiving my body, and then all of a sudden I saw my inner body, and it was like a little shinier, and things were like, it shifted, and it was the first glimpse of it. But I also went through a big emotional, like, karmic thing last week. And
always is, yeah.
You know, people ask me, like, oh, like, how do you connect with, like, your spirit guides in this healing? And in my experience, you never know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so this work that I know, one of the main reasons I want to talk to you today is because of this deep commitment that you have and you hold with your school and your teachings and your offerings to be in the body. Mm-hmm. And my commitment as well to do embodiment work. I wanted to, you know, open up this conversation and really invite you to share pieces that you feel people, this is what I love to do on this podcast, to invite teachers and healers to speak about what they see is like a missing piece that people aren't quite getting or seeing, need to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you speak about the dark and the, you know, dropping in and the allowing, how can people practice if we are going to post links to your school and your offerings. Mm-hmm. But if they haven't really practiced this letting go, this 95%, some of them happen to be coming in here. Maybe I'm part of that 95% too. how can they begin to do some practices to get them to authentically
darken? First of all, I want to give it a little bit of a frame of why I do that this way. I think I already spoke a little bit about it. But what a lot of us don't realize is, in what we call evolution, starting from the whole Darwin story and then leading very fast forward to 2,000 years ago, and that gradually the primitive human being, first after incarnating from the psychic in the physical, became from more animalistic, and of course had the high intellect or intelligence, coming in the body and then starting to rise, becoming a soul, and then an I conscious mind, being conscious of myself. Mm. And that the body, the physical body, is quite complete now, but it is clear that we are still developing our psychic self. We are not look at what happens in the world. We have no clue really how to use our thoughts and emotions in the right way. That mm-hmm. means honoring our soul and our biology. I mean, we don't know how to do it. That's because we found a new tool that is our thinking, our masculine thinking, and what we can do with it. Oh my God, AI and so on. We create all the stuff there. And most people, they don't realize that we do it at the expense of the feminine part in us, which is the deep unconscious. Mm-hmm. Through the psychology, we have created the feminine, which is the unconscious now, and then the conscious is in the mind, which is completely wrong, of course. The is body it? Is consciousness.
The body but is consciousness.
Of course, and is mind. That it's a kind of mind that you cannot think with. And we started to identify mind and mind without thinking, which is totally wrong. The body is also mind, but subconscious mind. Unconscious mind.
Unconscious mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are like projected ourselves out of this vital darkness, which is the feminine source, and got more and more into the world. And the only thing we need to do, there's nothing wrong with this, with the masculine and with the projective mind, but it doesn't have roots anymore, so we are killing ourselves, very clear. Mm-hmm. And we're destroying our environment because we pull out all the feminine essence and we like offer it through the thinking mind mm-hmm. to build our world, which is just going to a wall. And I think everybody who has some common sense can see that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But very few realize this game or this tragic of coming from below, and then like the child who found a new toy, now for thousands of years we keep going there, but the toy is only effective if it has the foundation, which is the soul and the body.
Mm-hmm.
So either we get that for ourselves and wake up, which doesn't look like it, and all life is going to stop us, which is also fine because mm-hmm. no problem, life corrects things anyway in the long run.
Nature,
that's
going to
be a little bit more painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just today I talked to somebody, said, well, he's starting to become and getting into this conscious suffering and want to change his whole life and his profession. Said, no, just continue everything. Become aware of your body, become aware of gravity, become aware that you're breathing, I mean, where you stand, where you are, touch your body, all these very extremely simple things. Feel the quality of your sheets when you go in bed or turn around during the night, so that you gradually move from a nobody to a somebody, because we never know the body. Not a body, and it's a form. I'm somebody. It has a name, but we can never know the pure yin.
Mm-hmm. Unless we're experiencing the presence of the body and what's available
right.
in the moment
mm-hmm.
of the sensation and the perception.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, what's interesting is in the Vedic lineages, because I have some Taoist initiations mm-hmm. and teaching, but more in the yogic right lineage.
Yeah.
So in the you know, in Ayurveda and in the Vedas, it's taught that the senses keep us from freedom, right? But, right, that our senses keep us from knowing who we are. And Dr. Ladd, who recently moved to Asheville, I don't know if you know him, he's a great Ayurvedic master. He came and started the Institute. He's like, I call him like the Deepak Chopra of the underworld. He's very humble, beautiful teacher, Indian teacher. And brought his whole institute here in the mountains a few years ago, and very precious. But he also teaches that the root of suffering is from misidentification of the self. Like, and he teaches how to heal diseases with herbs and, you know, lifestyle. right? But as you're speaking of the power of experiencing the sensation of your senses, of the physical, as a gate to freedom.
To let the senses withdraw to their collective root.
The collective root of yin.
Embodied consciousness.
Embodied consciousness, which is like, the cultivating awakening, which is the awakening of the feminine.
Yeah, because this unborn child, or even a child till 1 year old, all the senses, it has primitive senses, certainly when it's born. But before, all these senses are one sense. It's conscious sensation. That's
all. Right.
And then we became like a cauliflower that opens up. But the power is the stem of this cauliflower. So to be able to use our senses in the right way, it needs that stem. That's what I'm saying.
That root of awareness of who you are. Of that inner awareness, that
embodied
inner
mind and soul. Yeah.
Embodied mind and soul.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to just spend a week with the 50 people in our new place, and the 6 days long, we were just doing that, feeling your own body, feeling the rhythms of that body, sinking into the earth, blending with the earth body, then doing the same with other people, working with blindfolds, being in nature.
Yes.
Only, no talking, no, just.
Yeah.
And we started from, fine, you showed up and you want to know what the body is, but you came to me and I don't know. So, well, let's be together because it's a great mystery. And I feel very comfortable in that mystery.
Right.
You see, we want to know the dark. We want to know the feminine. This is how most relations go wrong. In the beginning, he loves her. He loves her mystery. And then after 1 year, he figured her out. That's the end.
I think about that. It comes in my inner circle when I'm teaching and like channeling a little meaning, like saying things out of my mouth I didn't think about before that moment, you know, then it comes back to sex. Maybe it's the Taoist influence, but it comes back to that natural energetic of yin and yang. I appreciate, I love this, this tracking of the externalization of our awareness, and that the creation of all the things, but but what is cultivated, you know, inside, and you know, nothing. And you know, it's interesting as a teacher who's always learning and also a student to experience, like, I find my own, this is a kind of another conversation, a leadership conversation. Maybe we'll do another one. Like, I have things that help, I think, purify like I have a grief sometimes, or an anger, you know, around the ignorance, you know, maybe you've experienced that a long time ago. That, you know, or sometimes you still experience that when I'm, this is a common thing. It's a really just a control issue. I understand. And it's related to, you know, healing. Like when I just moved through a whole thing that I tracked to my parents. Okay. The pattern of love and how that affects my own masculine feminine. But there's this thing that's coming up as I'm listening to you, around the frustration that people have when we externalize other people's experience the seeming quote unquote cause of what we feel. There's a suffering, even in that externalization, even as a spiritual practitioner, where if I'm putting weight on how they're doing, defining how I'm doing, then there's a suffering. But if I, I detach completely, then I'm not in an energetic flow.
Right.
Right. So the challenge, and this is something I've been personally going through very recently, is to, how can I continue to create relationships and set myself up to stay in that ease and that grace that, you know, feels healthy for my yin chi, for my energy body.
Sure.
Have you seen people work through that?
All the time.
All the time.
It's certainly when people are longer time with studying with me, then they come to a point when they sometimes get frustrated. And on the point of, it's like a next step in using the psyche when your spirit, soul, body presence starts to take over your thoughts and emotions. But that can feel like kind of an emotional death, like you don't you don't feel a lot of emotions anymore.
Right.
And for people who are, where your relations are completely built on that, it feels like all this falls apart.
Right.
But for us, as an alchemist, it is really crucial that you are, you're willing and able to experience the emotions, but you have created a space inside where you can experience them yourself in the first place. So you don't need to react to your environment.
Right.
It's the consciousness that decides that.
Right.
If there's no space, you need to react.
You have to. Yeah. And I consciously do that. I've learned, can't stop the flow. And so
but that's a step that very few people are willing to make because it changes them beyond their personality. That means you really become a different person, and that's very scary for me.
So cool. What,
it's actually a switch that you make. If your horizontal axis is dominating, then you're dominated by thought and emotion. If your vertical state gets enough space inside, the thoughts and emotions are still there, but they resonate in that space, and you can not choose from your mind, but with your consciousness, you can see what is appropriate.
Right.
Even if it, oh, this reminds me to my mom. It comes up, this feeling with your mother or with my mother, over. It comes up, but there's no need to bring that up, that thing.
See, there's a returning to awareness of the... being in the moment as the
because certainly in spiritual development classes we hang on to the limited past to way too much. There's a contradiction in the infinite being that I am on one side, and then I keep focusing on my mom. I mean, what are you talking about?
Or you could be like me. I just manifested my mom to move 5 miles away so that I can make sure that I'm working out all these things.
But I hear that all the time. People on one hand, they are infinite.
Yeah.
But even if in their whole belief, I often say that to people. They want to study body work, and then their belief system goes to the previous generations. The furthest they go is Atlantis. That's 25,000 years, and the universe is 15 billion years old, and this body is 15 billion years old. So forget about all that, I would say. If you want to go in the body, we really have to stop this superficial thing.
Because in the body doesn't exist in the past.
No. Okay. There can be a lot of past in the body, but that's not the true body. It's the psychic residue.
But it's interesting. I've been noticing this the past week as I've been going through some cool things, cool changes. Mm-hmm. How the body was like, the body is a result of my ancestors, right? This body, right?
Partly.
The physical. Yes. Well, and everything else in the universe, and the food they are in, the air and the water, right?
Sure.
So okay, maybe that's the perspective shift right there. It's like, and then the soul is way beyond the story of my couple of generations of family that maybe I'm thinking about, right?
different lineage.
So then what different lineage, right? My star lineage, my soul lineage.
Yeah.
And then, but what happens? Like, is there a point where the body can't, now you tell me the soul doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
So where the soul, but the soul can expand, the light body, the energy body can expand.
Our presence as a soul can expand enormously.
Enormously. Right. And the layers.
Just saying that we cannot develop it, remember?
We can't, right. As a personal identity is not. No. Okay, now that completely makes sense.
It's such a crucial thing. There's two big lineages that we have. And one is from through the earth, which I call often, because the symbol I use mostly is the circle and the point.
Yes.
And that's the core symbol of the alchemy lineage I work with. Mm-hmm. And so the one from the earth is from the point. And the point represents the earth in its purest form. Mm-hmm. And there's my parents and then my grandparents, 4 and my grandparents, 8 and 16. And soon there's going to be like millions of people behind me, you know, mm-hmm. they're all my ancestors, and they end up all in the earth, in the true, but not the planet, but the true body of the earth. Mm-hmm. And all this information, because they all use the same body, right? And in some years, not going to take that long anymore with me, but in some years, this body is going to go back to the earth with my grandparents and with all of them, like the Indian, North American Indians, and so on. No. I've been using this same earth body over and over to create a new human body.
Right.
And that's billions of billions. Same body in the earth. So
same
as an alchemist, if I can let go of my body by occupying it fully and give it back now to the earth, I get access to all these different bodies I had before, leading to one big body I always had, which is the point, the original point. That's my lineage. So my father and mother is just the beginning. And then on the other hand, related to the circle, there's also a spiritual lineage.
Mm-hmm.
All through all these incarnations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't matter if you have lived in Orion and Sirius. It doesn't really matter, because there was always a little ball there, right, which represented the earth. And the atmosphere that you lived was the sphere around. That's clearly where we live then. And that has also built up momentum, and essential things have stayed with you. That's your spiritual lineage.
Right.
And again, we can pick it up by the common or the known information that's in the books and the teachers and so on. But most of it, we have to be just open. And pick it up on the vibrational level, knowing we will never know, because that's not really important. It's important that these two lineages come together in you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a long talk, but I had to do this.
No, I'm tracking it. And I had some recent, I've been doing this great breath work in Pilates class, and my teacher is a Reiki master, and she's very cool, and it's at the gym, and it's very magical but ordinary, and I love it. And we do a lot of core. I've been doing just really wonderful core strengthening the last year. Mm-hmm. And I had this, and sometimes I have like this heal at the end of the class, is something like insight or a healing or something. And I had this awareness of all the bodies, and that they were all in the earth. And maybe because I'm talking with you and it was coming, or as a transmission, because it was just a week or 2 weeks ago. Of all the bodies in there, it was like all those bodies hadn't always been grieved, that they were gone. And so I had a healing, like a grieving of like the letting go, but also an honoring of them at the same time. I was watching your video about the beautiful experience, and then I felt the transmission as well of you. And it maybe was your wife who did the video of the seven islands, the Canary Islands, and the seven sisters. And I wanted to talk with you about that, because the Lakota tradition, Dakota tradition, the seven sisters are the Pallades, and also Chief Elkman and his brother, who is also one of my teachers, Chief Golden Light Eagle, who left mm-hmm. his body almost three years ago. He also worked with symbols from the stars. And when they were growing up on the reservation, they would have orbs of light that were like ships. They thought were ships that would follow them around. They'd be riding horses and they would just be following them. And they spent their life doing ceremony to communicate and relate. And before my chief transitioned, he said that he would come to me as a blue mm-hmm. light, you know, mm-hmm. and then I started seeing more blue light in the dark. Mm-hmm. But when there's some teachings that came in that you might find cool, or maybe it's not as cool as your actual experience, of course, but mm-hmm. where there was work to work with different star nations and that right. started communicating mm-hmm. with symbols. And then there's a whole right. creation of yes. these symbol teachings mm-hmm. and there's groups of people, it's related to 11 dimensions, 12, 13, mm-hmm. but doing work with symbols and ceremonies with symbol to help right. ground this mm-hmm. love, all love frequencies, and track your star lineages, of which I had a little bit of, and people are very fascinated by the most mm-hmm. profound. And I find it interesting, but mostly, you know, I just really want to feel like clear and happy and healthy in my body in the moment and loving mm-hmm. and peaceful. Mm-hmm. But what's new is this perspective of your physical ancestral line and your spiritual line. And so is that circle that is the you, the soul, is that mm-hmm. also, does that also manifest as orbs?
Well, about these, but can maybe relate to the orbs, which I had many times, these experiences. Mm-hmm. But that was more like, well, longer ago. Then there was quite a period in my life. I started to focus more on, yes, now I know these dimensions, spiritual experiences and other realities and so on. But how can mm-hmm. I bring that into existence? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I had a lot of memories of other lives where I had this clarity, but I didn't really live my life.
The lives as a monk and a spiritual practitioner. Yeah. Right, right.
Sometimes very close to kings and sometimes as a monk, but always struggling with bringing the world of matter and spirituality together.
Well, now I know why you're my teacher, one of my teachers, because this is also my work.
Yeah. And now my focus is completely on that.
Okay.
To simplify spirituality so that it becomes extremely practical. And right. that's I gave up my school for a while and then started teaching in the government and with the police and with all big companies, Microsoft and all of that.
Okay.
Just to see, to contribute, but also to see if my teaching worked on that level.
And
I did that for 15 years and now other people do that mainly. But that was for me an assurance that it lands in the practical world, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the simplicity and practicality, do you say that, practicality?
Mm-hmm.
Is it English? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a priority for me.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
One of my teachers said, if you're spiritual beliefs cannot be demonstrated in existence, then you're not getting it, or it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to accept for many people.
A few years before I met you, I met Dave Oshana. He came to town and he said, I'm enlightened. And we're like, what? And he said, yeah, I'm enlightened. And I'm just here for transmission. And we're like, what? And that's when I started doing Qigong and Kundalini mm-hmm. woke up and all that. Mm-hmm. And a few months after that, I met Vania, and just my perception was blasting open from years of yoga and other practice. And she said, well, what do you want? And I was like, oh, world peace, you know, happiness, joy for everyone. She said, no, you. So she now laughs at me. So she was here the other day and she just laughs. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were nowhere near your body. I'm like, but I thought I was doing. No, you were not in your body.
I thought I was
in my body. I was dancing and doing yoga and everything. But
a lot of people have that in the end. They think they're enlightened.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, but I was like, oh, getting in my body. And then what I didn't know was that in those 10 years after then to that till 2012 was an opportunity to integrate those awakenings from my experience with you and these other teachers that I was having. Mm-hmm. And then I developed a way to help people get in their body, which is what my book is about. And now I'm talking with you. I'm like, oh, well, maybe none of that matters, but I got to get this book done.
So, mattered then, but yeah. Now
it all evolves. Yeah. I mean, just it's very fascinating, the embodied work, even just having somebody look at the energy of a thought and mm-hmm. just breathe into it and let the thought go and like see how the mm-hmm. energy can move in the mm-hmm. field. And then all of a sudden they're free, you know, they're free of that, seemingly all of a sudden they're free of that story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The body never lies.
The body never lies.
The body doesn't know how to lie. That's a mind concept.
Right.
So.
Right.
One of what I like very much is I often say to people, your issues are always in your tissues.
Tissues, right.
Yeah. There you find out. People can say whatever they like and whatever they want, but when they're on the treatment table or on the futon, then you know.
Right.
If you touch the body.
Right.
It requires courage to do that, to mm-hmm. take the body as a teacher, because there's no circles or ways around. I mean, it's just clear, but there's no hurry. That's the good thing. It's fine, like you have a frozen shoulder or a spinal problem, or to take 5 years to really take all the information that is stored in there. But then you're completely changed if you do that.
It's
a slow but very sustainable path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I've gotten older, I'm surprised at how long some kind of healing takes.
Sure.
Not in my body, not only personally, I mean, in terms of what I've seen.
Sure.
And just amazing how we all have free will as to how far down, how much mm-hmm. we want to go, you know, mm-hmm. and as a mentor, like the lessons that I learned and letting go and letting go and letting go and, you know, mm-hmm. trusting people to have their own experience and letting go of mm-hmm. needing to do anything about it. And it's
letting
just
go the need to let go.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking this time. Anything else you want to share about or talk about or bring? How can people?
I think we already shared a lot.
We did.
Yeah, I was just thinking before about what has changed a lot, what brought this, the topics of the orbs and the spirit beings and all the symbols and so on, what has changed a lot in the whole teaching, and not only for me, but also for many people around me, is the what we call the life force ritual, mm-hmm. which is a set of symbols that put all the information of all the spiritual methods together, just in a language that looks a little bit like Qigong, but it's different because it combines, for instance, the yin and yang with the ang. So it's east and west coming together in one language of cosmic order. And that's what I say to people when they do the life force ritual, you repeat the whole creation process, step by step, from the void to the six-pointed star. And it's like a sequence of symbols. And it helps people to pass the need to think and understand. They just go through the ritual, 10, 15 minutes, because it's just 11 to 13 symbols that they make. And afterwards, you can see the change happening from within. There's no intent to change, but it's like a deep remembering. It helps them to reunite what I talked about, these two lineages coming together.
Amazing. Because the reason I say, of course, is because the 1111, the Makawachakpi Wachokan, which is the symbols from the chiefs that they all brought in is also, there's 11 and then they turn and then there's the yin and then there's the yang symbol. Right. And it's just, oh, it's so beautiful. How can people learn this practice with you and study with you?
Well, there's, at the moment I'm not teaching it live myself, but there's, well, I trained a lot of teachers who do it very well. And sometimes I teach it every year. I teach it in the castle in Chateau Frande, which is our new home base, an international training center for alchemy. Mm-hmm. So if they go to our websites of live projects, then they find a wide offering. We have five different directions, from inner alchemy, that's the core. It's formed on the cross, which is the core. The earth element and the fire is the alchemy of the wise man, wise woman, and alchemy of love. That's the fire. The water is vitality, yoga, qigong, sexual practice. It's the water, the source. And the horizontal is two branches of going into the world. One is more therapeutic, coaching, therapy work, healing, all that. And the other side is to contribute to the world with your life project. So we assist people to use the alchemy principles to live their life project and contribute to the world. So we have people who come in from the east or the west or the fire or the that's how they start, because that's what life is telling them. People who stay a long time, it's like a Taj Mahal with the five entrances, then it works very well if people are integrating all the different elements in their life. It takes a while. It
takes some time. Yeah.
Amazing. There's no hurry.
There's no hurry. Yeah.
The human invention.
The time.
Yes.
Yeah. Aw, thank you so much for your time.
Very welcome.
It's a pleasure. My pleasure. If people want to get in touch with you, what's your website?
www.lifeprojects.be, I think.
Okay. I will post it in the BE. BE.
From Belgium.
From Belgium. Okay. Yeah. I will post it. I will post it in the show notes. So you guys, I know everyone's going to want to follow up with you. And, thank you. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed checking out today's episode of Awaken Life Radio. To stay updated on offerings, classes, workshops, and new episodes, feel free to check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups/Awakened Life Tribe. Thank you so much. Namaste.